Today's daf is Beya Daf Mem. And we are three lines from the bottom of Daf Lamites Amid Beis, the Mishnah, Be'ezras Hashem, the last daf of Meseches Beya. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Tzara Aliza, of Vadya ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba ben Devora, Devora bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Chaim Aaron ben Fega, Tamar bas Chasida from Arifka, and Etta Malka bas Miriam. So we're continuing to discuss the theme of the last few dafin, which is the laws of Tchumen. Says the Mishnah, Misha hayu peiroisav bi'ir acheres, someone who had fruit. However, the fruit that the person had did not preside in the same city that the person himself did on Yontif. However, v'irvu b'nei oisa ha'ir. But the people that lived in that city where the peiros were had made an erev tchumen, so that even though this other city was outside the tchum of where this person was, it was possible for the peiros to come to him simply by the people in that city bringing it to him via their erev tchumen. Says the Mishnah, lo yaviu loy, they're not allowed to bring it to him. Meaning, being that this person himself didn't make an Erev Tchumen, even though they themselves did make an Erev Tchumen, but at the same time, they can't bring his Peres out of the Tchum. The reason is because the way we look at the Tchum of food is based on the Bailim of the food. And being that he himself didn't make an Erev Tchumen, so he has no way of going from his city to where the Peres are, even though they do have a way to do it, that just allows them to go. It allows their possessions to go. But as far as them bringing his thing, that's not something that they would be allowed to do. Vim Erev who? Peres of Kamar. If, however, he made it an Erev, then his Peres are going to be subject to his Erev. So then if they want to bring his Peres for him, that's something that they would be allowed to do. Another Aloch. Misha Zimen Etzliarchan. Something that invited guests. The halach is, if they want to take some food to go, they can't. Unless the balachsanya, the person that's hosting this guest, was mezaka the food that these people want to take to them before Yontif. The point is, you had people that had made an Erev Tchumen, and as a result of the Erev Tchumen, they were able to visit guests, they were able to visit someone that lived far away. They go now for the Suda, which is something they're allowed to do. And again, even though it's outside the Tchum, but being that they made an Erev Tchumen, as a result, they were able to do it. They wanted to take food back with them to go. In theory, if they can go back, why shouldn't they be able to take food? The teretz is because the food doesn't belong to them. It belongs to the Baal Achsanya, and the halacha is that the behema and the kelim are karagli abaylam. So the food is subject to the erev of the owner. The owner can't go to their house because the owner never made the erev tchumim. The guests made the erev tchumim. The Baal Achsanya did not make the erev tchumim, and as a result, they can't take the food back. If, however, the Baal Achsanya was mezaka the food to the Archim before Yontif, so then the food already belonged to the Archim Bein Hashmashes. So when the Kinyan Shvisa went into effect, when the laws of Tchum went into effect, it actually went into effect subject to the Tchum of the Archim, not subject to the Tchum of the Baal Achsanya. Zokta Gemara, Itmar, Hamafkid Peiros Eitzel Chaveiro. If somebody gave his friend Peiros to watch for him. So what's a Pekadin? A Pekadin is where Reuven owns something and he asks Shimon, will you please watch this for me? Depending on whether Shimon is getting paid to watch this thing or not getting paid to watch this thing, would determine whether he's a Shai Mechinam, whether he's a Shai Mesach. If he's allowed to use it, he's considered a Shayel. If he's allowed to use it, but he's paying to use it, he's considered a Seicher. But the concept of a Pekadin is where one person owns the Chayfetz, but physically it's in somebody else's Rishos. Amafkit Peiros Eitzel Chaveri. Rav Amarav said, Karagli Mishev Kido Yatzle. As it relates to the laws of Tchumen, so a behema of a kelim karagli a bailim. Who's considered the bailim? It's the nifgat, the person that has the kelim inside his rishus. It's based on his tchum that we view these kelim. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel said, Karagle Hamafkid. We don't look at who's Rishos, but rather we look at who owns it. At first glance, it would seem that this machlok is between Rav and Shmuel. How you view the Hilchos Tchumim of a Pikadon. Rav said you look at it based on the Nifkad, where the Rishos is. Shmuel said you look at it based on the Mafkid, who the owner is, which seemed to be a machlok is Rav and Shmuel, the Shit aside. The time we learned to the Mishnah, and this is a Mesechtes Bava Kama. So the context over there is a Sharshanagach, or some form of Niske Mamay, where somebody's shar or bar or was mazik somebody else's thing. Says the Mishnah, im hichnes b'shos bala chatzah chayv. Meaning, what would be if somebody walks into somebody's chatzah shalei b'shos, and then that person's shar damaged this person? It's poshit that the bala shar would be potter. If the shar damages in a rishos harabim, depending on which one of the arba avos nazikin is, or if it happens in a rishos that is commonly owned, that's when you have all the laws above a kama. But if somebody walks into somebody else's rishos and then the person's dog goes and it jumps him and hurts him, then obviously you can't have any tainas on the owner of the dog or the bala shar, proverbially speaking. The reason is because who asked you to come into my rishos? So the Mishnah says, "I'm hichnis b'rishos." If a person entered or his possessions entered somebody else's, then if there's any damage that takes place, at that point the balachatz is going to be chayv. The balachatz is going to say, it happened to my rishos. Yeah, but I gave you rishos to enter. Once I gave you rishos to enter, at that point, I'm already responsible for what happens. Rabbi says, not lav dafka. If the balabayas says, you can enter my rishos, and then he says, by the way, if something happens to your thing that you brought into my rishos, I take achrayas for it, I take responsibility, only then is he going to be chayv. Otherwise, he's not going to be chayv. So we have a machlokes tanam, if somebody gives somebody else rishos to enter his chatzar, and then the bal hachatzar's shar, this is just one example, would go and damage something that belongs to the person that he gave rishos to enter his chatzar. Would he be chayv or would he not be chayv? According to the chachamim, the bala chatzar would be chayv. If I give you rishos to enter my chatzar, I've taken responsibility now of anything that happens. Rebbe says, lav dafka. If you're mekabel achrayis, yeah, but if you're not expressly mekabel achrayis, then this halach is not going to be the case. So it's a machlokes tanon, right? Vam rafuna, amar rav. Rafuna said in the name of rav, halacha kidevei chachamim. Rav paskin, like the chachamim. Shmuel, amar Shmuel said halacha kirebi. That the halach is going to be like Rebbe. So says the Gemara, Leme Rav Damek Rabbana. Rav that paskin like the Chachamim. Rav said that if somebody gives somebody rishos to enter his chatzar, what happens is he automatically becomes achroi for what happens to that person's possessions, even if he doesn't specifically say, I'm being mekabel achrayis. But the fact that I allowed you into my rishos, that on some level makes me achroi. So you see that on some level, I now become, let's just use this term loosely, a bailim on your item. As a result, if I would go ahead and damage it, or my shar or my bar would damage it, I would be chayiv. So it's mistaber then the Rav Lashitase would say that if I'm watching your chayfetz, I'm considered the bailim on your chayfetz as it relates to the laws of Tchumen. Vishmul dama karebi. Whereas Shmuel that said that just because I allowed you into my rishus doesn't necessarily mean that I took upon myself any responsibility for any damages that take place. Unless I say mefurish that I'm being mekabel achrayis, the halach is just because it's a my rishus, so what? It's your item. Oh, just like he views it as being your item regarding laws of Nezakin, regarding Bava Kama, so too as it relates to Erev Tchumen, the same thing. It's your item, and therefore the Kinyan Shvisa is going to be based on your bailus, it's not going to be based on my bailus. So that's the Gemara's attempt to say that maybe these two machloikas and Rav Shmuel, which at first glance are literally Mizrach Mayrif, Tzofen and Darm, they have absolutely nothing to do with each other. One's a Sugya Bava Kama, the other's a Sugya and Beya, really an Erevin. But the Gemara says maybe there's a Tzad HaShava, there's some sort of common denominator between these two machloikas. And the Gemara says no, because Omelech Rav, Rav will tell you, I know that I'm a Philly Rebbe. I hold maybe even like Rebbe. Meaning, I'm going to come to Rebbe Hassam. Why did Rebbe say that if somebody allows someone else to bring his possessions into his chatzar, afal pikein, if this person's shar would go ahead and damage that person's item, he would be potter? Because he owes the bestomal, the kabbal, and the tirusa. Because minastam, just because I let you come into my rishos doesn't necessarily mean I took upon myself achrayis. I never took achrayis. I never was a shomer pekadin. I don't have any ownership. I don't have any responsibilities. As a result, if my shard damages, no reason I should be chayv. Aval hacha, hakabala and itirus. How could you stell that through the erev tchumen? Over here, we're dealing with a pekadin. A shomer pekadin, by definition, has taken upon a self-responsibility to watch. Now, you want to know if he's a shomer chinam, he's a shomer sachar, he's a soicher, he's a shayl. That will determine what level of responsibility he has, what level of quote unquote kinyan and bailus he has, but at the same time he expressly took upon himself achrayas. So it could be even Rebbe would be mo'ed. I mean, the whole Rebbe is you have to be mekabel achrayas. In the case of Pekadin, he was mekabel achrayas. So said Shmuel, I could say my aloch. Said Rab, I could say my aloch even according to Rebbe. Shmuel, and Shmuel will say the same thing. No, now we feel the Rabbanon. I could say my aloch even according to Rabbanon. Because Adkam and Kam Rabbanon Hassam. Why did the Rabbanon say Vir El Denichel Leila Inish Denekim Tur Bishusa de Balachotzer? The Mazak Leila Mechayev. It could be the Rabbanon said there Svara that when a person brings his possession into somebody else's Rishus, it's mistaber that this person wants, on some level, his item now to be in the rishus, in the bailus of the balachotzer, because he wants that if the balachotzer's shard damages it, he should be chayv. Aval hacha. But when it comes to tchumim minicha leila inish delekim peir b'shusa dechavrei, if I have my peiris, I would l'chura want my peiris to be subject to my tchum. Why would I want it to be subject to somebody else's tchum? That's an unnecessary risk to take. He doesn't even know where his peiris are going to be. I know if I'm there, then my peiris are there. That's what a person would probably want. So as a result, says the Gemara, even though from a super high level, maybe you could find some common denominator between the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel regarding Tchumen and the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel and Bava Kamu. Really, if you think about it a little bit, the Gemara says this easy svaras lechalek lekanu lekan. Either way, so we had a Machlekes Rav and Shmuel. Hamafkid peiros etzel chaveira. Ruvain owns peiros, Shimon's watching the peiros. The halach is habehema vahakelim karagli abayla. Who's considered the bailim regarding these peiros? Is it the mafkid, he's the owner? Or is it Misha Hefkida Yatzloy, the nifkad, because it's in his rishos? And it was a machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Rav said, it's karagli Misha Hefkida Yatzloy. Shmuel said, it's karagli ha-mafkid. We learned in our Mishnah, v'im irev hu peiros of kamar. The Mishnah was talking about where somebody had peiros that were outside of his tchum. And he wants on Yontif to get his peiros. So says the Mishnah, if there are people that are coming from outside the tchum via an Erev Tchumen, they can't necessarily bring his peiros. If he himself made an Erev, then he would be able to. But says the Gemara, what do you see from the Mishnah? Let's speak it outside first. You see that it's possible for a person to be in one place, but have peiros someplace else, yet the peiros that are someplace else will be subject to his own tchum. But says the Gemara, the e-amrit, if you're going to tell me, karag l'mishav kidei atzloi, if you're going to tell me that the way it works when a person has a pekadin, somebody else has rishos, the pekadin is not toluy in the tchum of the owner, but it's toluy in the tchum of the nifkat, so ki erev hu mayhava, who cares that he made an erev? At the end of the day, right now it's in somebody else's rishos, so the chur should be toluy in that person's tchum, not in his own tchum. Rafuna, so Rafuna said, Amri bei Rav, they said in the yeshiva of Rav, to explain Shitas Rav, can go in sheyichad like Karen's office. You have to say that the Mishnah is talking about where there was a Karen's oven, meaning this person, it's true, he had his pay raise in somebody else's rishos. It was a pekadon on some level, but at the same time, that person had not taken upon himself achrayas, but rather he took a corner and he said, this is your corner, you own it, I'm not watching it, this is where it's going to be. A traditional pekadon, somebody is watching somebody else's item in his own rishos. Over here, it's Yenim's peiros, it's also in Yenim's corner. What do you mean? It's my house. Yeah, but I was miyachid the Karen's office for you. And being that I was miyachid it for you, it's not considered like a traditional mishef kidei atzloi, and therefore even Rav is going to be moedah that it goes based on the mafkid. So this is a yisoid that the Gemara is going to repeat now a few times. That even though Rav said that a mafkid peiros etzel chaveroi, it's karagle mishef kidei atzloi, but if you carve out a Karen's office, the nifka does, and he says that this corner is not mine. This corner is ala chashbon shalcha. I'm not taking any responsibility for that corner. So then it's poshut, it's going to go based on the mafkid. Toshma, another kasha on Shitas Rav. Not from the ration of the Mishnah, but from the Sefer of the Mishnah. What did the Sefer say? Mishnah Zimin Atzli Archin. If somebody invited guests, lo yilichu b'yadam anas, they're not allowed to take food back with them. Meaning these guests lived outside the Tchum. They made an Erev Tchum, and that's how they were able to show up to their host. Now they want to go back. The host never made an Erev Tchumen, so if they want to take food back, it's a problem, because the food is karaglia bailam, and who's the bailam? It's the host. Elam kain zikulahem monoisei mer of yantip. But the Mishnah said there's an answer. If the bailam was mezaka the food to the guest before yantif, so then it belonged to who before? at Bein Hashmashes to the guest, that belong to the guests. So they're the ones that were kind of shvisa. So now it's going to be okay. Zok to Gemara, v'i amrit karagli mishav kidei etzloi. Now if you're going to tell me that anytime there's a situation where one person owns something, but it's in somebody else's rishos. So we look at the tchum based on the person whose rishos it's in. So kizika lahem al yedei achar mayhavi. Who cares that he was mezakeh to him? At the end of the day, it's in the balachsanya's rishos. So it's like any pikadin. Now, if the halachi by a pikadin is you look at the mafkid, then it's very good. But Rav said it's karaglam yeshe hefkida yatzlai. So if you look at the nifkad, so luchura, how's this going to help? So the Gemara says two terutzim. One teretz the Gemara says is kivon hachanami kivon she zikol lehem al yedei achar kimi she yichol lekeren zavus dami. So it's not clear what the svar of the Gemara is, but the words of the Gemara is that just like we said in the previous Gemara, that if the Nifkad would take a corner, he would carve it out and he would say, I want this corner to be the Mafkids. So then it's Pashit that the Tchum would be based on the Mafkid. We don't look at that as a traditional Mafkid Nifkad. Being that in this case, the Nifkad was Mezaka, the food for the guest, it's Kemisha Yichalei Keren Zavos Damis. Even though we're saying he wasn't necessarily Miyachalei Karen's office, but it's Kamisha Yichalei Karen's office. It has the same effect. And over here, everybody's going to agree, even Rav is going to agree that you go based on the Mafkid. V'iba Yisema, alternatively, it says Zikoshani. That being that it was Mezakim, it's going to be different. It sounds like the Gemara is almost repeating itself, but this is a different Svara. Here, what the Gemara is saying is that being that the purpose of the Balachsanyu was that the guests should be able to take their food back, and it was understood that the halacha, according to Rav, is that if I have something in your rishos, it's kirag lemishev kidei atzlai. So the only way it was going to work was is if I was miyachal Karen's office. So when I was mezakeh to you, I was essentially miyachal Karen's office. So it's a subtlety. The first heretz of the Gemara is that you weren't miyachal Karen's office. I was mezakeh. But kivan shezikah lemayidei achar, it's kemisha yichal Karen's office. So somehow, that has the effect of being miyachal Karen's office. Second heretz of the Gemara is he was actually miyachal Karen's office, because his intention was to be mezakeh to him, to just figure it out at all costs, whatever it takes, get it done. Oh, that's when you wanted to do. Okay, so I was mezakeh to you. That's the first thing you knew. You need to be the bailam. And number two, you have a pikadim problem. Okay, so must be, it includes in this being miyachal Karen's office. Rav Chana bar Chaniloi, tola bisra ba'avra d'dasha. So Rav Chana bar Chaniloi, he took meat and he hung it ba'avra d'dishla. He hung it in, he was staying by a host, and he hung it on the doorknob of the host. So this is old school, says the Gemara. Now he lived in another city, and he wanted, he made an Erev Tchumen to be able to go to the other city. And the question now was whether he was able to take this meat with him, or he wasn't able to take the meat with him. So the Gemara says, also the Kamid Rafun came to Rafun Amale. So Rafun told him like this, if you yourself were the one that hung this piece of meat, Zilshkol, then you could take it with you. But if they're the ones that did it, like Dishkol, then you're not going to be able to take it. So he said, if you hung it, then you can take it with you. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to take it with you. So again, Rav Chana bar Chaniloi is not home. He wants to go back home on Yontif. He's going to have to go outside the Tchum. He has this piece of flesh that is right now with him, away from home, outside of the Tchum. And he wants to know, could he take it with him or could he not take it with him? That was the Shailah. And he came to Rav Huna, and Rav Huna said, it depends on the following. If you're the one that hung up this piece of meat, you're the one that put it on the hook, then you can take it with you. If someone else did it, you can't. Now, what's the difference? Who is the one that hung it? So the Gemara is going to talk about that at the end of this Gemara. But for now, the Gemara asks Akasha. I don't understand. Just because he hung it, he's allowed to take it. Meaning you're assuming that if he hung it up, so now it's bound by his own tchum. Rav Huna Talmud Rav. Rav Huna was a Talmud of Rav. Rav said, Kiragle Mishef Kidei Etzlai. That it's Kiragle Mishef Kidei Etzlai. So even though Rav Chana bar Chaniloi himself made an Erev Tchumen, but Lechura, this piece of meat shouldn't be Tolu in his Erev Tchumen. It should be Tolu in the Tchum of the Balachsanya. Because right now, it's in this person's Rishutz. It's Kemishef Kidei Etzlai. So the Gemara says, Shani Avra Dadasha, the Kemisha Yichod Lekeren Zavastami. This wasn't like a regular Pekot. The reason is because he had hung it on the Avra Dadasha. He hung it on the Briach. He hung it on the beam or on the doorknob. It wasn't in a safe place. And because of that, it looks like the Baal Achsanya never really took achrayas for it. I mean, if he put it in the refrigerator, he put it somewhere in a safe-ish area, so then you would say he took achrayas. We look at him as a regular nifgad, and according to Rav, he's actually the one. It's keragla mishef kida yatzli. But that's not what happened over here. He just hung it up very temporarily. And as a result, it's kemisha yichal karen zavazdami. It's as if he said, listen, you want to leave it there, leave it there, but I'm not taking any responsibility. And as a result, even Rav would be moed over here would be able to take it. But the Gemara has a few kashas over here. Tzok to Gemara. Omeli Rafil Ravashi. Rafil Ravashi. Rav Huna told Rav Chana B'chani, if you're the one that hung it, take it. But if not, you can't take it. So Rafil told Rav Ashi, I don't understand. What's the tzad he shouldn't be able to take it? Pashit, what would be the reason? Tchumen, right? There's some sort of tchumen problem. He said, I can't fathom what the tchumen problem would be. Why? For Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, Shor Shel Patam, Hareu Keragli Kol Adam. Didn't Shmuel say that if somebody buys a shor from a patam, this is a person that sells a lot of shvarim on Yontif, the halach is Hareu Keragli Kol Adam, I'm allowed to take it within my tchum. He said, why should this be any worse than the Shor Shel Patam? It's true that it was in the Rishus of the Nifgat. The Shor Shel Patam was also in the Rishus of the Patam. But at the same time, it's understood that the Patam sells things on Yontif. And therefore, when you buy it, it goes based on your tchum, not based on the Patam's tchum. Whatever the lumdus is, but that's the halacha. So if that's the case, why should this be any different? This is my thing. I was planning on taking it back with me. Why am I any worse than the Shor Shel Patam? I'm Ravina Rav Ashi. Ravina Rav Ashi, different kasha. He said, V'inu talile. Loy shakol. V'amar Rabbi Bar Brachana Rabbi Yochanan. Halachik Rabbi Doisa. Didn't Rabbi Bar Brachana say, in the name of the great Rabbi Yochanan, that the halacha is like Rabbi Doisa? So is Rav Doisa. Rav Doisa said that if somebody gives his animal to a shepherd on Yontif, so the halacha is, the tchum is based on the bailam, not on the shepherd. But if there was only one shepherd in town, then it's based on the shepherd. Because it was understood that he was going to give it to the shepherd. And this chiddush of Rav Doisa is lahalacha, Rav Yechon and Paskin that way. So the Gemara says, should this be any worse than one shepherd? You see that even if it's not in my rishus at all, Bein HaShmashas. I have no shaykhis to a Bein HaShmashas. But there is a svar, there's an assumption that sometimes, it doesn't matter, sometimes the halach is, it goes based on my tchum. So this should be a classic example of that. Where at the end of the day, we know for sure he was going to take it with him on Yontif. So even though it wasn't in his Rishus Bein HaShmashas, why is it worse than the Shor Shel Patam? Why is it worse than the Shor Shel Raya in Rav Doisa's case where there's only one Raya? And the Gemara asks a third kash. Omeli Rav Ashi, the Rav Kahano, V'inu Talu Le'lo Shalkel. So the first two questions were asked to Rav Ashi. The third question Rav Ashi himself asked. He turned to Rav Kahano. And he said, you know, the Olam's bombarded me with questions. He said, I don't understand. So this question's already not so clear. Don't we know Abayim of Akelim, Kragli Abaylim? So what's the kash? Of course, Abayim of Akelim, Kragli Abaylim. But we're saying that in the case of a Pekadin, the Nifgat is considered the Baylim. So Rashi says it's the first wide line. Being that even though they hung it, but they did it for him, havalei iu bailam. That shouldn't take away from him being the bailam. I mean, the whole idea of it belonging to the nifgad is because we look at the nifgad now as being the bailam. It's my rishus, ich bin the bailam. But if I just hung it there temporarily for you to take tomorrow, how could that make me the bailam? And at the end of the day, the spirit of the law of tchumen is keragli abailam, and it's poshut in this case, the mafkid has to be the bailam. Subtle kasha. But either way, the Gemara has three problems with why Rav Huna told Rav Chana Bar Chani Loi that if they're the ones that hung it, you're stuck. You can't take it. How's it possible? You tell me because of what? Even Rav's halacha? At the end of the day, this can't be worse than the Shor Shel Patam. It can't be worse than the Shor Shel Raya. What's Pashup Shat? So the Gemara says a whole different reason. The Gemara says, you want to know why Rav Huna told this Rav Chana Bar Chani Loi? He said, if they hung it, nothing to do with Tchumen. Nah, Tchumen, it's Pashup. He said, if you hung it, you can take it outside the tchum. So if they hung it, you can also take it outside the tchum. At the end of the day, the ragli abaylim, you're right, is 100% it's Rav Chana Bar Chani Loi. But Chana Rav Chana Bar Chani Loi, the gaver rabbi. He was a gaver rabbi. The tarid b'shmaite. And he used to harav in learning. V'hachi kamales, he was worried. He said, "E atolis, if you're the ones that hung it, islach siman b'gaves. I know you have a simon in this piece of meat. V'loi maschus daitchamine. And you are masich das from it. Zil shkol, therefore you could take it. However, if they're the ones that hung it, you are masich das, they have no idea. You know why? Because it's basash and it's alim in a ayin. This has nothing to do with ilchus tchumen. The issue was, from a tchumen perspective, this is all good. If they hung it, then you're running into a problem of basar shen es alim in a ayin. The last mishnah in Masechtas Beya, and the last mishnah actually does not discuss the laws of Tchumim, but rather the Siyum of Beya is Me'ein the Psicha. So the Masechta started with the laws of Mukta, and not surprisingly, the Masechta ends with the laws of Mukta. Zok the Hilige Mishnah. Ein Mashkin v'shoichten es ha-midbarias. You're not allowed to give animals that are quote-unquote midbarias. They live in the wild to drink on Yontif. Additionally, to shechtem on Yontif. Aval mashkin v'shoichten es ha-baisais. However, you're allowed to be mashka, you're allowed to give to drink, and you're allowed to shecht baisais. These are the ones that live in the bias, they live amongst where the people live. Elohim baisais, the following are examples of animals that are baisais, halonis be'er, they sleep in the city. Midbariais, halonis ba'afer, they sleep in the wild. So the Mishnah is essentially saying that you're allowed to shecht an animal that's a baisais, you're not allowed to shecht an animal that's midbariais. What's the difference? One word answer. Mukta, the ones that are baisais, part of the family. Therefore, you could shecht it. The ones that are midbariais, you're not really thinking about before Yontif, and as a result, those are going to be mukta. So really, the halacha of the Mishnah is shoichtenes, ain't shoichtenes hamidbariyos, but shoichtenes habaisos. But the Mishnah said something else. The Mishnah also said ain't mashkin, meaning ain't mashkin v'shoichtenes hamidbariyos. Avo mashkin v'shoichtenes habaisos. And the Gemara is about to ask a question, and in the question there's a major assumption, and that is, it's pasha you're allowed to be mashkin the midbariyos. Pasha, you can be mashka. You're not allowed to give an animal like that to drink. I'm allowed to give it to drink. The drink itself is not mukta. Why shouldn't I be able to give up? Should let it starve? I'm allowed to give it to drink. I'm just not allowed to shecht it. Shechita involves tiltal. That's where you run into mukta problem. So what does the Mishnah mean when it says a mashka v'shechita nesamid barias? It means you can't be mashka and then shecht. The point is you can't shecht. But instead of just saying you can't shecht, don't be mashkit and then shechtin. So the Gemara says, "Lovely the meber." Why does it have to say the mashkin v'shoichtin? Right? Just say in shoichtin. What's the you could be mashka. Elamai, you can't be mashka v'shoichet. So why are we talking about being mashka v'shoichet? Says the Gemara. The Mishnah is doing what it often does. Milsa agav orche kamashmala. Very often the Mishnah, which speaks b'lashon kitzara, but at the same time will counterintuitively agav urchi throw in a hidden message to teach me halacha. What's the agav urchi in this mission? The lishki inchnish behemtai v'hada lishchid. Before you shecht an animal, you should give it a drink. Mishum sircha demashcha. And the reason is because if you're going to give it a drink, it's going to be easier to skin the animal. So this is just a milsa agav urchi kamashmalon, an eitza toiva kamashmalon. And that is that before you shecht an animal, you should give it. That's what we're talking about. Really, the Mishnah could have said, ein shoichten es hamidbaris, avo shoichten es habaisos. That's the point of the Mishnah. Ein mashkin v'shoichten, avo mashkin v'shoichten. Because agav urchi, we want you to know that it's a good idea. It's a nice thing, makes practical sense. It's going to be much easier to skin the animal. Tana Rabbanan, a braisa related to this halacha. Not shockingly, the braisa is longer than the Mishnah. Elohim midbariyos. So the Mishnah said, what are midbariyos? Halonis ba'afer. What are baisos? Halonis be'er. But the braisa gets into it a little bit more. So Elohim midbariyos, Elohim baisa. Midbariyos, kol shi'ayitz v'pesach, they leave Pesach time, v'royos ba'afer, and they live out in the wild, v'nechnasim b'revir rishayna. They come back, chidush cheshvin, Rashi says. They come back, the Marchesh, Loshoinai Hazov Shal Rashi. The Elohim Baisois, and the following are Baisois, Kol Sheyoitzois, Viroyois Chutzlitchum. These are animals that they go out to graze outside of the tchum. However, ubois velanis betzleit tchum. They end up coming back. Rabbi Yoimi, Rabbi said, Elo Elo Baisa saying. No, you both describe Baisa. Elo Elo and Baris, the following is the Baris, Kosh Yoitzis, Varois Ba'afar. The Einach Nasais Liyishav. They never come back. Loibi Baisachamav, Loibi Baisakshavim. If you come back, even once in a while, you're still called Baisis. The only time you're called Midbarius is when you never come back. Maybe there's a little Pnimiya Satire here. So it says the Gemara. But obviously the Rebbe Mukta. You know what it certainly sounds like? Why is Rebbe commenting? Why is he even opining on this discussion? We're discussing a halach related to Midbarius and Baisis. That's Negei Shechting Animals. It's Negei the Sugis of Mukta. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like Rebbe holds of, not Breira, Rebbe holds of Mukta. So the Gemara says, Mi Islay, the Rebbe Mukta, does Rebbe hold of Mukta? Vabay Menei Rav Shimon by Rebbe, Me Rebbe. Rav Shimon by Rebbe asked Rebbe the following question. He said, Patsile Tmara, the Rav Shimon Mahu. So if someone has tamarim, dates, she'enam espashlois be'ilon la'olam, they're never going to properly ripen on the tree. So what people would do is, they would put them into baskets, and they would eventually ripen inside the basket. And Reb Shimon Rebbe asked Rebbe, he wanted a coin to Reb Shimon, mukta, not mukta. Amalei, so he told him, ey, mukta le Reb Shimon. No, sinit mukta libe the Reb Shimon. Ela, groy grois v'tzimoyken bovat. The only time something is considered mukta is groy grois v'tzimoyken. What does that mean? If somebody has an oven, for example, he has grapes and he wants to make them into raisins. He puts them on his roof and they're drying and they're in the middle of drying. So that would be the example of a case where even Rav Shimon, who's less like mukta, really holds a mukta. Otherwise, doesn't hold a mukta. Now, what's unique about that case? Nice to talk about it. Seven lines before the Masechta is over. I mean, this is Rav Shimon 101. What's unique about that case is because Rav Shimon holds just a posh pshat. The lumnus is hard, but the posh pshat is Rav Shimon holds a mukta where you imadche it biyodayim, where something was good and I did something to make it not okay. I didn't punk not think about it. I was masiach das in a proactive way. I had grapes. I could have eaten it, and I took the grapes and I messed them up. Now they're quasi-dry as a result. They're not grapes, they're not raisins. So as a result, the halacha is, that's where there's mukta. But if something is punk, not something that I had das on, over there Rav Shimon doesn't hold and doesn't subscribe to the laws of mukta. So Rav Shimon Rebbe asked Rebbe a question. Koit Rav Shimon, mukta, no mukta. And what did he tell him? No, Rav Shimon only holds a mukta with gregris v'timoikin. So this is a kasha. Right? There's supposed to be a question mark here. What's the kasha? What was the kasha? The kasha is Rebbe's talking about shechting midbarios and baisos, which sounds like Rebbe holds a mukta. Yet Rebbe is discussing whether patzilei tmara l'Reb Shimon would be mukta. Sounds like he holds a Reb Shimon. Sounds like he's less like mukta. So does Reb Shimon, does Rebbe hold a mukta? Does not hold a mukta? Does he hold like Rebbe? He holds a Reb Shimon. From this sugya over here in our Baisos and Midbaris sounds like he holds a mukta. Because the Baisos and Midbaris is a question of mukta, Libid Rabbi Yehuda. But from the fact that he had this discussion in Rab Shimon's mukta with his son Rab Shimon Berebi regarding the Patsile Tamara, where he said, a mukta Rab Shimon, a Greg Sutimaikim Bilvad, so what does it sound like? It sounds like Rab Shimon doesn't hold a mukta. So the Gemara is going to say three terutzim to answer this gash. Either you can say, Hani Nami, Ki Gregris, Fitzimaikim Dami. It could be these animals that are Midbaris are like Gregris. The reason is because these animals maybe were once domesticated animals. You sent them away. You don't want them. You push them away into the wild. And that's what makes them mukta. As a result, it's similar to Gregor's Vitzimoikim, the fruit that I took and I put on the roof. Or you can say, who said Rebbe holds like Reb Shimon? Because he's handling Shitas Reb Shimon. Shimba Rebbe asked him a kasha, Alibid Reb Shimon. He gave him a there, it's Alibid Reb Shimon. And if someone would ask him a kasha, what Bishamai holds? Oh, Taisa says he holds like Bishamai. He asked him a kasha. Who said he holds like Reb Shimon? Meaning, Reb Shimon, maybe Rebbe really holds like Reb Shimon. Who's less like mukta? However, the Rebbe on Amud Aleph, the Rebbe in the Braisa, where he's discussing Midbarius and Baisais, over there he wasn't saying what he holds, but he was only going with the Vrei Drabbanan, meaning, I hold like Rav Shimon, so there's not mukta. El, the true, you hold that, like Rav Yehuda, that there's mukta, oiduli miyas, you should at least be moided to me, hecha de yoitzais, verayis, bepesach, venechnasais, berevia, bershoina de Baisais, you should hold that in that case it's Baisais, meaning the case that the Chachamim held is really Midbarius, you should hold its biases for Omulei Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon told him, Loi, no, we disagree, we stand by our position. Midbarios, really, they're Midbarios, Hadron, Aloch, Meshilim, Peirois, Veslika, Mesechis Beah.